Right on. My name is Crystal. I'm a grateful recovering addict. Man, I can say a whole lot about Miss Coco. Oh, man. But what I can say is she's got a big heart for service and H&I, and that's where our journey began. You know, I remember Coco coming in to her first meeting. Yeah, I'm going to talk about it. And she came in and she said, "My name is Coco." And I looked at my sponsor. I was like, "Look, she's still using her stripper name." You know? But she remained to use her name, you know, that name Coco. And I mean, and I was grateful to know what her real name was, you know. Finally, we got to know each other, even though I said, "Look, her stripper name." But anyways, yeah. I was that girl and would make fun of you. And, you know, that's okay because through that interaction, the love and the relationship grew. H&I is a big part of both of our stories. We hospitals and institutions is why she stands here today, you know, and can tell an amazing story and give women hope, you know. And I know why they chose her to do the women's rep, because she helps a lot of women. She's from this area, but she took all that great knowledge and all that great stuff to Panama City. I ain't hating, but that's okay, because the women out there got an amazing woman in their life, and I'm grateful to know that she's part of my recovery and she'll remain to be part of my recovery. Coco B, y'all.
I do.
Coco, I'm an addict.
You want me to tell you everything?
Oh, okay. I don't use my government name. You know, we kind of go through active addiction without using our government name sometimes. And I didn't know. I came into the room still using that nickname. My real name's Kyoko. That's why I go by Coco. You guys are the first to hear it in a crowd. Take my shoes off and get comfortable so I can talk to y'all for a minute. I'm going to take a pause and ask my higher power to come in and help me a little bit, because to carry a message, I need that help, just like I need every one of you in here today. So if you would, take a pause with me. Thank you. Okay, my clean date's 3/28/2017. My voice is going to be a little shaky because I'm nervous as ever. I never get over it. I do a lot of H&I, like Crystal said. And I start out by telling you a little bit about how it was and a little bit about how I came to NA and how it is now. That's my experience, strength, and hope. And I hope that somebody can identify, because I know when I came into the rooms, I needed to connect with somebody. I hadn't had a connection in a real long time, and I didn't even feel like a human anymore. So that one person that I could connect with helped me feel like I was in the right place. It started out when I was really young. I felt like I didn't fit in, you know. Preschool, I was that kid off in the corner of the playground, or actually going in the woods playing with the bugs and the snakes. I didn't like people, and I didn't like them from an early age. I always felt like I didn't fit in. Middle school, junior high school, which I didn't finish high school, I dropped out, and I'll tell you why in a minute. I never felt like I fit in. I started using it at an early age, and it was alcohol, like a lot of us do. It's my parents' liquor cabinet. I couldn't even attend a football game unless I was inebriated, right? Socialization came easier for me when I had that mask on, when I was covering up how I was feeling and who I was. That also started at an early age, like most of us. You know, I used sugar when I was like 5 or 6 years old to get my high. I feel like I was born an addict. That obsession and compulsion follows me every day today. But I have learned how to turn it over every day. I have learned that if I don't surrender every day, I'll continue in the hell. Let me catch my breath and pick back up where I was. So after I dropped out of high school, I got married at a very young age. I was really naive. I was raised Southern Baptist, and then I... can y'all hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am.
I was raised Southern Baptist, and then I realized I really didn't like that, so I left the church at an early age. And like I said, I was disconnected from a lot of people, including my parents. My mother worked hard. She did work hard to give us everything that we needed and things that we wanted, too, but she was an absent mother. Now, I did realize later on in life that she was an alcoholic. She had to have alcohol every evening. She had to have alcohol every weekend. I don't think I ever saw her a weekend without alcohol in her hand. You know, we're not supposed to say who's an addict and who's an alcoholic, but, you know, some things pointed to that. So I got married at an early age because I wanted out. I didn't want to be under the rules and regulations of my parents' house. I wanted to use any way I could. This person also, you know, partying on the weekend and stuff. I think I was like 17 years old. We started dating when we were 16. I was 17 and got married. And I'm going to go real fast. Please try to follow me. Because I'm nervous and I want to get it over with. I'm not taking up all my time. This is really hard for me to discuss, but here's the part where I want you to identify. The person I dated was not the person I married. He was, but he wasn't. The day after we got married, my nose got busted by his fist. And it became evident that I was going to be in an abusive relationship, but I carried on in that relationship. I didn't know how to get out. I was young. I didn't know how to ask for help. I was naive. I didn't know any different. I thought this is the way it was supposed to be. I did try to leave at one time, and I had a family member tell me, well, you need to go back. You need to do what you can to make him happy. You need to change you. This was my first indication that I didn't have anybody to help me, that I was on my own. I got pregnant in that marriage. And because that man threatened my life and threatened that baby's life, I wound up having an abortion. I didn't know the choices I was making then, other than to survive. I carried that with me for a very long time, and that put a very dark spot on my soul, I have to say. I did work some step work. I have gotten through that, and I have made amends to myself. And that is due to Narcotics Anonymous. I'm very grateful to this program. Let me tell you. After that marriage ended, I went for the next one, and he was even rougher. Isn't that what we do? Our patterns, right? Yeah. I went for another one, and rougher, and the abuse continued, and, you know, I wound up in a third marriage, and the abuse continued through that one. Well, I like to say the men in my life taught me how to fight, so I got real good at backing them off me by the third marriage. So the physical abuse in that marriage only lasted probably for about 10 years, the first 10 years. You know, he got tired of walking around with a busted up face too, so he kind of stopped laying his hands on me, right? And that's when the mental abuse and the psychological abuse took over. You know, we have a lot of people in our lives that are using too, and I can't pave their road for them, but I can tell you this, I don't think that the person I was married to knew how to love himself or me. Because when I was told every day, you eat too fat, you'll never find anybody good enough. You too, you know, you're not good. I felt like this all my life, so he didn't do anything but reiterate it. You know, tell me that I could never find anybody that would love me like he loves me. I thought physical abuse and mental abuse and psychological abuse was love. My using got worse and worse and worse. And my self-image got worse and worse and lower and lower. And I really thought, boy, I thought I was the worst of human beings. I thought that I wasn't smart enough. I thought I wasn't pretty enough. I thought I couldn't accomplish anything. I thought that the world around me would rather I not be there. So in my using, in the mornings when I came to, or whenever I came to, because sometimes it wasn't morning time, in the mornings I woke up, I was disappointed that I didn't die in my sleep. You know, we get to that point, right? Well, I hit my bottom over and over and over again. I had family members try to help me stay clean. I went to detoxes all over the place. I can't even remember the states that they were in. I went to a few treatment centers. You know, that revolving door for me, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, because I never worked on me. I never worked on anything on the inside. I thought if I took away the drugs, I would be okay. When I got back to the same people, places, and things, that shit had to come back in because I didn't feel good about me at all. Because of all the abuse that I had been through and the self-hatred that I was experiencing, my whole outside world I fought. Anytime I went to bars or bonfires or anywhere, I was fighting because I was taking that pain out on everybody else. The pain where I couldn't protect myself at home and the pain that I had been through most of my life, I was taking out on everybody else, the whole world, and I was hoping that somebody would take it out on me because I wanted somebody else to take me out because I was too damn scared. You know, we as women, I really feel like sometimes we tear each other down, and it happens in these rooms. You know, the rumors and the backbiting and the nastiness, it goes on, and there's cliques.
Yes, it is.
That's one thing that I do not agree with. I tell every one of my sponsees, you love the addict. You love the addict in the room. You do not backbite. You do not gossip. You do not talk ugly about another woman. You don't know her story, and hers might be identical to yours. So, I spend my time giving hugs and loving on women. I want you to know you're in the right place. If you don't have anybody you can call and you feel like you don't have anybody you can count on, I'll give you my number. I will hang around after this meeting so you can get my number. I want you to know you got somebody. I continued in this marriage after I got clean. I'm going to backtrack a little bit, okay? This is my ADHD and my OCD and everything else jumping around. I continued in this marriage. The last treatment center I went to, I said, I got to get clean. I can't do this anymore. So I went to detox and I went to a treatment center. And these two women brought this meeting in, Narcotics Anonymous meeting. Never heard of Narcotics Anonymous before this. And it was an H&I meeting. God, am I so grateful today. You guys, anybody been in treatment center and had an H&I meeting brought in? Yeah. See, I didn't listen to the message, but what I did was I saw this little woman in this pink suit, and she looked so put together, and I was a dumpster fire of a human being. So when she walked through those doors in this pink suit looking cute with her makeup done and her hair done, I was like, I wish I could grow up and be like her. Mind you, I was 45 years old. My ass was supposed to be grown. I took one look at her and said, huh, maybe Narcotics Anonymous might have something to offer me. That was my first hope shot. Yeah. I'm so grateful to that facility that they allowed H&I in there and that we as women band together and took H&I meetings into that facility and any other facility we can get into, because we do need to carry the message. Continued in that marriage. When I got out of treatment, they said, find a meeting. I did. You know, those big metal doors, man. I went through those doors. I tried to get through that door because, see, I left that meeting that day, and I came back to the meeting. I left the meeting. I came back, and I was like, oh, this is in a shady place of town. You know, I wasn't even thinking where I used to go to get my dope, right? So I just remembered I'm being recorded. I'm trying to clean it up today. I wasn't even thinking where I went to go get my dope, but I was really concerned about where the meeting was being held for Narcotics Anonymous. So I left several times, but I talked myself into going back because I was hanging on to that little bit of hope that I had caught. I was really hanging on to it because I was so miserable in life. I was so miserable. I did not want to give up on that hope. Went to my first meeting. The women came at me. Everybody came at me, and I felt claustrophobic, and I had anxiety, and I thought, Jesus Christ, I can't do this with all these hugs, because I was still not wanting anybody to touch me. Well, they got me in there, and they got me used to it, and I made some phone calls, and I sent out some texts, and I made some friends. No matter how they meet you, thinking you that you're using your stripper name, they're still going to be your friend if they talk to you. Crystal and I got real close doing H&I, and it was wonderful. Continued in that marriage still that I had been in. And, you know, we used our entire marriage, every relationship I've been in, we were used together. We used together every relationship, day and night. So he continued to use, and I said, about 60 days in, look, I think this is going to be my way of life for the rest of my life. You know why? because I was getting some hope every day. I was seeing women smile and laugh and conversate, and it just kept growing and growing and growing. And I kept hanging on and hanging on because I thought, if they've got it this good and they've been through the same thing I've been through, there might be some hope for me. So I went back home and I told this man, I was like, look, I think this is going to be my way of life for the rest of my life. And he said, you know, you do you, I'm going to support you. I said, okay. I had already learned we can't get them clean. We got to walk the walk, right? So that's what I did. I walked the walk. And I did that for a few years. And I was getting real miserable at home. I was hiding out in the rooms. I was hiding out in the activities. I was hiding out in the volunteering and taking the chair seatings and things. And it got to where I didn't even want to go home. I was clean. He was still using a multitude of things, mind you. So I decided I was going to take a geographical change. Guess what? That didn't work. That did not work. It did not make me happy because I was still with the same person. Right? So come to find out, hiding out in the rooms didn't fix my marriage. Go figure that one. Because I got me clean. I got me happy. I was having a good time with my friends. And I was, you know, staying clean because I was fighting through it and hanging on to that hope. And I was spreading the message. And, you know, I was working step work and I was working on me. I started writing on my fourth and fifth step, and I started looking at the amends I needed to make for me because I was looking at my patterns, and I realized my patterns were me beating me up. See, I was a victim before Narcotics Anonymous. I blamed everybody in the world and everything else and the marriages and everything. I started taking accountability going through that step work, and I realized it was me I needed to work on. So later on in step work, I started making amends to myself, and I kept growing. And I can tell you, when I first heard my gut laughter for the first time, it surprised me. I was like, damn, is that me? Because, you know, I didn't have anything to laugh about before Narcotics Anonymous, before I got clean. And I finally heard myself laugh, and I said, okay, we're making some changes. So I went and I asked this person for a divorce. I said, I can't do it anymore. I got to stay clean. I can't do it anymore. Because I had started sharing in meetings, there's just going to come a day where I'm miserable enough, pissed off enough, mad enough, upset enough, depressed enough, where I'm going to use. It's readily available at my home. 2.5 years staying clean, going to meetings. I did it, but I started white-knuckling it. So I went home and I asked for a divorce. This is how God works. That man got clean when I asked him for a divorce. He's still clean today. Now, I ain't saying we besties or anything like that. Okay? We get along because I share custody of my dog with him. That's me making a daily amends. Because I played a part in that marriage too. See, and I own my part in that marriage. I was volatile also. And I'm making that amends. Because I'm no longer a victim. I'm changing the way I see things. I'm changing the way I handle things. And I'm doing that through step work and through women teaching me. And women showing me how to walk the walk. I'm paying attention, I'm listening, I'm taking suggestions, I'm talking to my sponsor. Years into it, I'm still talking to my sponsor every day. Yep. Still talking to my best friends every day. Still working another round of step work, and I know it'll get on your nerves sometimes, but I'm still doing it because I want those changes because my life is so good today. I am happier today than I can ever remember being. All right. I'm in a relationship where we communicate with each other. We've never used together. There's no drugs involved in my relationship today. We have a very spiritual relationship, and that connection is deep. And the reason why we have that is because both of us work a good program, right? The black and white, the literature, we follow that. I'm going to end this by telling you guys a funny story. And it goes back to what I've already told you about my past. But I want you to see something. When I came into this fellowship, I had a sponsor that was cutting up with me and tried to hand me a baby, right? Somebody's baby. I don't even know who it was because I wouldn't have a damn thing to do with kids. I wouldn't touch a baby. I wouldn't have anything to do with kids. I didn't like children. I didn't want them around me. I thought my anxiety's too much. And if I invited you to come somewhere and hang out with us, like, you bringing your kids? I mean, I was kind of mean about it, too. I'm sorry if I was ever mean to you about your kids, by the way. I had gotten so closed off because, you know, these men that were abusive, they also cheated, and I ran the gamut on a lot of diseases from them that kept me from having children ever again. And it had really hurt my heart. And I had closed myself off to that pain. And I was still carrying that with me even a couple of years into recovery. Okay? I started doing some step work on that, and I started doing some praying about it. I tell you what, I looked at my sponsee list the other day. Every one of them's got a child, two or three of them. Every sponsee I have has children. If that's not God working in my life, I don't know what is. Because I have a baby, a God baby living in my house today. I have a sponsor living in my house today where I can help reunite her with her children. You know, I have women in my life today where I can babysit for them. And it is such a joy. It really is. See, it wasn't that I despised children or really didn't want them around me. I was just so hurt. I couldn't see what was really going on. I'm here to tell you, step work will change your life. It'll change your perspective, right? And that's what we need. I need others' perspective because this will lie to me all the time. After working some step work, after being around these women, I realized this is where I belong. And I'm here to tell you, you belong here too. I love you. I'm Coco. All right.
My name's Lisa and I'm an addict. Our next speaker is going to be introduced by Loretta. Where is she? Give Loretta a hand.
There's steps on the other side. There's steps on the side.
My name's Loretta and I'm a grateful recovering addict. I'm about to introduce you to someone. We have a love-hate relationship, but we have a relationship. Through it all, we still come together. And I'm just so grateful that she's in my life. She really works hard on her spirituality every day, and she really has a powerful story to share with you all. I'd like to introduce you to, and we're from Birmingham, Alabama. I'd like to introduce you to Sharon J. Oh, I have to add this, that our relationship has taught... Here, not steps over here. Huh? Steps on this side.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
See what God does?
Yes. our relationship has really taught me the importance and the power of friendship.
Okay. Awesome. Let's see what we can do. Ooh, that's the other key. Steady man. Over there. Yeah.
Yeah, you all was jumping up on this here stage like I was like, oh my God, how the hell am I going to get up that step like that? But see, God do what he's supposed to do for somebody. I don't know about y'all, but when I see the evidence of who he is, it just brings me more closer to him. I'm a grateful recovering addict and my name is Sharon J.
Hey, Sharon.
And this is not my forte. I speak different places, right? But I like to speak when the men is involved too, because I like to talk about them, you know what I'm saying? But And women, they never, ever been in my life like this. I never had women in my life like I do now. My clean date is 11-6-01. When I say that, I remember the day when I came into treatment, and you're talking about 24 years later. I'm still in Narcotics Anonymous. Okay. Not dealing with a lot of women, but I'm going to tell you something. Sponsorship is a vital tool in my recovery. I gotta let you know this again. Sponsorship is a vital tool in my recovery. And back in the day, they said women sponsor women. Uh-huh. And men sponsor men.
Yeah.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah.
Now that it is that anybody who you think can help you with this disease of addiction, grab them. Some people still from the old school. But can you imagine sitting there and wanting to use and ain't no woman around?
Right.
Only thing you have is a couple of men who's in recovery. You dare not say anything to them. You finna die, but you don't want to do it because you don't want to sponsor, you don't want them to sponsor you. Because they said women sponsor women and men sponsor men. I don't know how that'll work for somebody. Only thing I know, it don't work for me. I have a female sponsor. Loretta was my sponsor quite a few times. Let me say that. Because of the confusion that I had going on in my life. When you get up on this podium, a lot of people have... Coco said it. The jealousy with women, the envy, the backbiting. But if you're an addict like me, all you want to do is stay clean one day at a time. If you're an addict like me, you're still searching for that motherly love that maybe you didn't get because your mother was an alcoholic, because your mother was an IV user, or whatever the case may be. And you're 24 years later, I'm still trying to find that motherly love from somebody. So I build resentments towards women, and I don't let women get close to me. I tell you, this podium is something else. Because when you under the authority of God, He's going to bring some stuff to your attention that you never even thought about. I can't tell you nothing about how I was afraid to connect with women because of what my mother had, because of the disconnect that I had with my mother. So I brush you all off. But when I see suffering addicts come into the rooms and they are females, I never want you all to experience anything like that again in your life. And let me tell you something, because of the rules of Narcotics Anonymous, you don't have to. After this day right here, after this convention right here, if you feel like using, it's because you want to use. It ain't because you have to use. Said it, when we come in here we have this much hope. You don't know any kind of direction, talking about me, had no kind of direction, didn't know what was going to become of it. Came into the rooms in 1995. I came into the rooms in 1995. Let me share it again. I came into the rooms in 1995. I used in 1995 all the way to 2001. Every day, in treatment, using. And guess what? I ain't fooled nobody else but myself. So if you're sitting in here high today, welcome to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. And I don't know whether you're going to do this in your spare time or not. And I pray that you do. Sometimes during the night, you tell God thank you for these rooms. You tell God that you don't know the direction to go. You tell God that between you and Him, not your sponsor and nobody else, that you need help. And help will come available to you. We did a walk across, and I saw all the ladies and all the men who was walking across because of different things. Back in the day, we had a burning thing, and where we took resentments and whatever, the jealousy, the envy, we took them and put them on a piece of paper, and we burnt them, not to revisit those lifestyles again. And for 24 years, probably before that, I ain't never been jealous of none of y'all. All right. I'm a bilateral amputee. And if you don't know what that means, I stand here without any feet. I stand here with prosthetic legs. And I do not think you all are better than me. I am a female who love to live and live to love. And I haven't always been that person. I would shy away from you women. I didn't want to talk to you. But when I seen you come into the rooms with desperation like I did, I prayed for you. Because all I wanted you to do is just stick and stay until the miracle unfolds. I see miracles unfold every day in these rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. You already know how I got here. I don't have to tell you I was locked. I ain't got to tell you I was locked and loaded. I don't have to tell you about the truck stop that I sat up there and robbed men. I don't have to tell you about how I stole from my mother. I don't have to tell you those, how I lost my children. They said, they asked the question about that when we were doing the walk across. Have your children never been in DHR custody? And a lot of women just went on. And I'm going to tell you this here for me. I couldn't get clean because they took my children. I could not get clean because they took my children. I could not get clean because they took my children. That was a real freedom for me. The kids was gone. I'm finna get high. I don't have nobody coming and calling me talking about, well, here, come and get your baby. I got complete custody over them children. And got high. And was sad every day I got high. It was never a good moment talking about losing when you talk about losing yourself. Doing things that you know that you don't have no business doing. Sleeping with men and hating. Let me tell you something. Because I heard about it in here in Narcotics Anonymous. Some of us still practice those behaviors. Sleeping with men that's not yours. See, let me say, that's why a lot of times I don't like to get up here, because see, God be talking, and some of y'all gonna be mad at me when I get finished sharing and all of that stuff. We're talking about clean. We're talking about robbing stores and going and boosting and stuff. We're talking about we're doing this kind of stuff clean. But then in the third step, you'll sit there and you'll talk about, I made a decision to turn my will and my life over to a fair God as I understand Him. The thing about it is, you might not understand God, but I promise you God understands you. He know who you are. So when I come and I share with you all, I try my best to be honest with you all, to share something that would give you hope on your journey. And while I'm giving you hope, I'm receiving hope from each and every last one of you, because you're sitting here and you're listening to an addict like me. My own children don't listen to me. They'll listen to anybody else but me. I have children 45 years old, 42 years old, 37 years old, 35 years old, 33 years old, 32 years old. How many children is that? And then I had a nerve to do a foolish thing. I adopted my 14th, my third, she was 3 months old when I adopted her. She's 14 years old now. She the diva of the bunch. And why God gave my sister a girl is beyond me. Because I told you, me and women, we don't get along too much. But this little girl came in my life, not so much that she needed me, but I needed her. Coco, I needed somebody that I could care for. And to pay God back, or try to pay God back, for some of the things that he has done for me. I need you to know that when these little people come into your life, if you don't have any, God had allowed me to, this is just my theory, make up for all the damage that I did to the mother children that I had. And today, me and this 14-year-old, we do not get along at all. She's 14 years old. She thinks she's dating. And the thing about it is the fear that I have of her relying on this young man like I did at 15 years old and getting disappointed. That's what I'm trying to guard her from. And I can't. So I'm working steps on this 14-year-old. The biggest step I work on her is that first step that I'm powerless. I need God to do what he needs to do in her life. I need God to guide her in her life. And I introduce her to this God of my own understanding, that one day she'll get this God and she'll keep him in her back pocket just as well as I got to keep him in mine. Because if she don't, the streets, the trenches will tear her up. It'll tear every last one of us up. We work steps. I work steps for a purpose. And when I first came into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, I thought I was working steps to stay clean. The steps helped me way beyond measure. It helped me to stop being a thug. Because I was a true lot of women thought I was gay. And I think I presented myself like I was. I wasn't smiling at him. I wasn't winking at him. But I was so hard.
Yeah, that part.
You know, because I didn't know how to carry the purses. I didn't know how to get my nails done. And instead of me telling people that I didn't know how to become a woman, I shun away from you all. But I watched you all and I started learning how to admire you all instead of having this here ill feeling like I didn't belong. So what happens now? You ask God to start changing you, because I heard a lot of people say that I changed myself. If I could have changed myself, I could have did that shit a long time ago. I know I did not change Sharon. I know that the heart that I have for people today, I know that Sharon did not do that. I know it was a divine intervention. No, I'm going to tell you, a divine intervention that came into my life. And I stopped, I let go. I let go of my mother thought to me, shut up, 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 shut up. I let go of my mother thought to me. I let go of my father thought to me. I let go of my children thought to me. I let go of some of you women thought to me. And I start believing what God thought about me. Because he was so powerful. In 2001, when I went to the treatment center, I cried for 2 weeks straight. I didn't get up to eat. I did not get up for nothing. All I wanted to know is I'm still clean. Because the dreams that was coming, I was dreaming that I was at the dope house. And the dreams were so real that when I woke up, I was paranoid. I was scared. But I was still clean. And for that, I was truly grateful. 24 years later, the dream still try to trick me like I done did something that I'm not supposed to do. And I wake up and I tell God, thank you. If I don't give you anything else, and if you do not receive anything else in this program, I need you to know that this program, it does offer many gifts. But being in this program, it offers a lot of drama. It offers a lot of backbiting, like Coco said. It offers a lot of jealousy and envy. But it also offers a lot of hope. And if you don't know that an addict, any addict can stay clean and lose the desire and just live a brand new life. You all had an opportunity, some of you. You went to school before you got here, before the drugs and the alcohol. I'm not that addict. I had zero when I got here. I came in with one brown bag, a pair of panties in the bag, a pair of slacks, and a t-shirt. I had nobody to tell me, you can do this. I had nobody to tell me that I'm cheering for you. I get into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, and the girl just read just for the day. Just for the day, my thoughts will be on my recovery. I'm going to be living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Just for the day, I will find someone in NA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. Just for the day, I will try to get a program. I will have a program, and I will try to follow it to the best of my ability. Just for the day, through NA. Oh, boy. Okay, I said that part. Just for the day, through NA, I will try to get a better perspective of my life. That means my crazy thoughts that I carried with me. I'm 64 years old, and still sometimes I believe that I have no business enjoying life. I earned this. I earned 24. Because in 2005, 2007, when they cut my legs, if you don't think I earned it, I'm right here. I had two heart diseases. I had one heart and I had two diseases, one on the left side and one on the right side. And the doctor told me I ain't had but 3 months to live, but I serve a God, I tell you about it. And he always reminded me that I am his. And I always let him know that he's mine. I don't have anything else.
the last part of the Just for Today, it say, I will be unafraid. It says, my thoughts will be on my new association. And that's you women, right? Y'all new to me. Brand new to me. And I'm trying my best to let you all in my life. Not just sitting around my life, but in my life. Because some one of you, one day, I'm going to have to call you. And I'm going to be reaching out to you because, not because I'm thinking that you're hurting, but it might be that day that I'm so fucked up that I don't have nothing else to do. I am Maya, and I'm finna close. First off, I admire you newcomers that came in here for your first convention. I admire you newcomers who's here and it's 30 days, it's 60 days, it's 5 years, it's 10 years. Anybody have years underneath the 24 that I have? But let me tell you who my heart and soul goes out to. My damn predecessors. My predecessors mean more to me because if you all know the footsteps in the sand, and if you all do not respect these women who marched on before you, you better keep working your steps until you do. They put some footsteps in front of you. They went through a lot of trials and tribulations in front of you. They did some things in front of you. And not because they were the great I am, but they didn't want you to. They didn't want you to struggle through this program. So they showed us that if they could do it, you could do it too. I'm just real grateful to be here. I'm an addict named Sharon. Thank you for having me.